Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kirkchief.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. So, this week has probably been the least hectic week of the offseason so far. But that's okay, because we're getting ready for draft season. A lot of things still going on, despite it being not too hectic. Two things that we're going to talk about before we get into our main segment of the day. We're going to quickly talk about the new Stefon Diggs contract. And then we're going to talk about our Philadelphia Eagles and the draft pick trade that they made with the New Orleans Saints. But after that, we're going to get into our big segment, which is going to be, we're going to go through four total players each, two of them that we like, one on offense and one on defense, and then two that we dislike. And we're going to basically break down the players, like why we like them, why we don't like them, what good attributes they have, what bad attributes they have, and then what kind of impact we think they can make for a team in the draft in some of these early rounds. So we tried to pick players that we think that people would know that they're going to go top 50, at least maybe top 60. Maybe we'll get into some of the sleepers in a later episode, but we're just trying to get through some of the main guys today. So that's the plan that we have. And I'm really excited for it. I think, you know, this is the first time we really get to talk about some of these prospects in depth. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But first, let's just get into the Stefon Diggs contract. Nothing too crazy. I think most people knew that he was going to play in Buffalo for a while. It's a four-year, $104 million extension, and it could be up to $140 with all the bonuses and incentives and everything. It makes him the, I believe, is it third? No, it's the fourth highest paid receiver in the league behind Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, and DeAndre Hopkins. So, I mean, I think it's a great move by the Bills. They get him for six more years. It looks like he's going to play his career out in Buffalo. What do you think about Diggs compared to these other guys? Do you think he deserves that kind of money?
I think the money he got relative to the rest of the league is perfectly appropriate. I'd put him in that top 3 to 5 range of receivers. I know we've done an episode on that earlier this year, and I think I had Diggs second or third. So the contract is perfectly normal for what he is in his talent level. You know, he's going to be playing with Josh Allen for the rest of his career, at least the rest of both of their primes. And I think that that's a perfect matchup because they just seem to be telekinetic times. So I like the extension. I like Diggs a lot as a player. I like Allen a lot as a player. And it's a good move for everyone involved.
Yeah, I think Allen really needs to have, you know, good receivers around him. And that's what the Bills are doing. They're keeping Diggs for, six more years? I mean, Mahomes lost Hill, Rodgers lost Adams, but the Bills and the organization are making sure that they're keeping Diggs. And, you know, what's really important, I think Gabriel Davis is going to emerge as, you know, a pretty good receiver in these next coming years. I mean, we've seen how he's played in big games. That's only a sign of what could be and what might be in the future for him. So I think this is good news for the Bills. I think they can contend for a while if this offensive core can stay healthy and can stay productive. And Diggs is looking to have, he didn't have a bad year last year, but he's looking to have a little bit of a bad bounce back year. People were expecting him to be maybe the best receiver in the league again, and he wasn't quite that last year. So we'll have to see how he does next season. But yeah, I think we both agree that this was a good move by the Bills, and Diggs and Allen should both be great for the next 3 to 4 years at least together. So I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready to talk about that Eagles trade?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a whole lot to say about it, but go for it.
I mean, so the Eagles, our team, as you know, Howie Roseman loves to trade draft picks, loves to open up new opportunities to get players. And what we did is we traded pick 18. Oh no, sorry. We traded pick 16 and 19 in the first round this year, and also pick 194. And in return, we got pick 18. We got a 2023 first, a 2022 third, and a 2024 second. And so, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it, like at first you might look, oh, we lost two firsts, but in reality, we are getting a first back this year and a first back next year. And to me, this move basically just means that, you know, we're not comfortable with a lot of the guys in the draft this year. And we also aren't comfortable with Jalen Hurts.
That's the
this move to me shows that, like, if we want to move for a quarterback and try to get a quarterback next year, that we have the ability to do that and that we want the ability to do that because we aren't confident that Hurts is going to necessarily remain the starter long term, which I think is good. I've been saying that all offseason. We need to make sure we have a plan to maybe move on from him. And I think that'll probably happen after the season. So I like it in terms of that. And I also think that in general, that I think we probably won the trade. I know the Saints get two firsts this year and they really need those because, you know, they have all those cap issues that they're still dealing with from past seasons. But I think the Eagles got a lot in return for those two firsts in a draft class that I don't think is as good in some areas. So I like what we got in return. And I think that Howie will make good use out of it.
To me, I don't think you can definitively say that either one team won this trade because the Eagles got what they wanted and the Saints got what they wanted. The Saints are probably more in a position to compete right now than the Eagles are. You know, their roster is a little older. They don't have as much young talent as the Eagles do, which the Eagles don't have a crazy amount either. But basically, this whole trade for the Eagles comes down to they weren't picking three players this year. They're not going to want to pay three first-round contracts the same year. If all three of those players pan out, which is unlikely to begin with, but if they do, then you're going to have to give them all a big extension the same year, which you don't want to do and you might not be able to do. So you got to move one of them. And the biggest part, like I said, is the fact that they're going to be trying to move on from Jalen Hurts. Well, they're giving Jalen Hurts another year to prove himself, that is. Because if Jalen Hurts proves himself and he's one of the top young quarterbacks next year, then suddenly the Eagles have two first-round picks to build around him. If not, suddenly the Eagles have two first-round picks and an extra second to trade up for someone that will be one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. As for the Saints, they also, like I said, got what they wanted. They're getting two firsts this year so they can pick some players. They're giving themselves flexibility to trade up if someone they really like drops a little bit. Maybe a quarterback, although I don't know about that one. To me, I don't think they'll trade up. I think what they're going to do is they're going to go tackle receiver with these two picks. I think this was about jumping the Chargers, who are at 17, to try and get a tackle or receiver, because that's the two positions that both of those teams are targeting to me. And I think that's the two the Saints will end up drafting. Maybe a Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa, maybe a Charles Cross out of Mississippi State if he falls. Receivers, we know the five guys. It's going to be Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Drake London, Chris Olave, and Treylon Burks. I could definitely see the Saints or Chargers taking either one of them. And, you know, the Eagles pick up a couple extra draft assets in there too with the third round pick and the seventh round pick.
I like what you said. I don't like the Chargers taking a receiver though. I don't think it's going to happen. They have enough weapons there. They just need to make the rest of the team good enough. But I like what you said about the Saints. I think, yeah, like a tackle and a receiver would be great for them. And I do get what you say that neither team maybe won the trade because they both got what they want. But I think that the Eagles made out a little bit better than they could have. And I think, at least in terms of being an Eagles fan, I think it was a good move for us, at least. So I'm happy with it. I don't think Hurts is going to be the guy, the long-term guy. So I think that pick will be used to try to get, you know, or these picks will be used for assets to get a better quarterback next year. But who knows? I mean, I want CJ Stroud, but
me too. He's my pick.
Yeah.
I would not Spencer be a Rattler, young, though.
We're going to get Spencer Rattler. So.
Look, if Spencer Rattler, you know, picks up his game and has a great season this year, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it could happen. Who knows?
He has a crazy arm talent.
Actually, it's like likely that he'll have a bounce back year and we'll.
Yeah, well, just because this year was so bad for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like almost impossible not to have a bounce back year.
That's true. But like I'm saying, like a real bounce back year, like bring him back into like the top like sphere of quarterbacks. Maybe. For next year. Who knows? Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Eagles. Like I said, I'm not high on Hurts, but another year, who knows what he'll do. And the Saints, just a lot going on with the Saints, but their division's still pretty weak. If they can hold out Carolina from doing anything, if Brady somehow leaves the Bucs within like the next year or two, which I don't even know if that'll happen anymore because he keeps coming back, then the Saints might still remain competitive, but just never know. But yeah, that's an interesting trade, and we'll have to see what happens come draft day. So I think we should just transition now into our love and hate prospects. Like I said, I'm really excited for this. I think we both have some good prospects for love and hate. I could go first if you want, Alex.
Go for
it. We're going to start with offense. So for offense, a guy that I really like, probably my favorite position in football is the receiver position. And so I wanted to make sure I highlighted a receiver. And that receiver to me is a guy who has grown on me so much over these last 2 months. It's Drake London. Drake London, I see a lot of people really, really liking him, putting him as the best or second best receiver in the draft. And I see some people not liking him and putting him as like the fourth or fifth best guy. And to me, he's the second best. And I think he could make a case for the first. But with Drake London, what you're getting is you're getting great, great size. You know, 6'5", he's huge. He plays, I wouldn't say bigger than his size because he is 6'5", but he plays really big. 50-50 balls, you know, Drake London is getting them. It's not a 50-50 ball with Drake London. He has a great catch radius. You know, he's pretty good hands. You see him making a wide span of catches just anywhere the quarterback throws it to, he could pretty much reach. He is, in my opinion, very pro ready. You know, you look at a lot of guys, I think a lot of guys are not really projects, but I think a lot of guys have to be put in the right situation. I think Drake London is a guy who could flourish on a lot of teams. I think if you put him where he should be played, he will do well. And even if you don't put him where he should be played, I think he could still make up for it with just his incredible attributes. And also just a player that I think he's a lot like in terms of just like what I saw from his college tape is Cooper Kupp. I mean, obviously they have some differences, but you know, if you put him in the slot somewhere like that, Drake London is not the fastest guy. That's one of his biggest knocks. He doesn't have, you know, game breaking speed, but you know, he's a guy who can create decent separation off the line, great hands. He could be a high volume pass catcher. And he's also a really good blocker, much like Cooper Kupp and a lot of the Rams receivers. So I think a lot of those things together are just going to make him a good receiver no matter what. I think that he's a guy who, like, you know, you could compare to a lot of like 50-50 guys like Mike Williams. He's obviously a little bit different than him, but a lot of people talk about Drake London being like Mike Evans. There's just a lot of similarities to great receivers that you see in Drake London. And I really think he's going to work out in the league wherever he ends up. I think the Eagles should look to get him if we can for a mid-round pick. I think he should be the first or second receiver taken off the board. And I really think there's a low chance he'll be a bust, but we'll have to see. I'm higher than him than most people are. So who knows, but I mean, I'm not like the best person to talk about prospects compared to like some of the, you know, the high up insiders, but well, yeah. I really like what I've seen from Drake London. So he is my player that I love on offense, and I'll let you take it away with your player, Alex.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little bit of a commentary here first before I get into my player. To me, London just doesn't have that athleticism that you want to see out of an NFL wide receiver. He doesn't create a lot of separation in college, which to me, that's a huge red flag, because athleticism and talent on defense in the NFL is a, like, there is a crazy gap between that and college. So to not be able to separate a whole lot in college really worries me for a receiver. Now, obviously, that's not his game. He's not a guy that's going to, you know, tear you up with his super technical route running and speed. He's more of a physical receiver where he'll catch it on you instead of in front of you. And so, I mean, I could definitely see him succeeding, because even though your NFL defenders are going to get bigger and stronger, this guy is still huge. So I definitely see where he could succeed, and I'm not necessarily too low on him, but I'm also not high on him. I'd probably call him my wide receiver 3 of the class. And
that's fair. Fair.
So as I'll get into now, my wide receiver one of the class is going to be Jameson Williams out of Alabama. Now, Jameson Williams, to me, I think a lot of people would look at him as more of a, as just a normal speedster, kind of like a Henry Ruggs who came out of Alabama 2 years ago. Maybe what Jalen Waddle was looked at as a prospect by a lot of the public, even though he disproved that as soon as he got to the league. But Jameson Williams is definitely not just a fast guy. Jameson Williams is a very good route runner with some pretty good size too. He's about 6'2", 180-ish. So he's not going to be one of those guys where you touch him and he goes down like another player that I will be talking about later. He definitely has the size to play the X position. He, like I said, great route runner, great speed. He's a very willing special teams player. The only issue with Jameson Williams as a prospect, and the only reason he's not going to go top 10, at least not according to most mocks that you see right now, is his injury issues. This past season in the national championship game, Jameson Williams went out with a torn ACL in the first half of the national championship game. And since that happened, a lot of people have really soured on him as a prospect. He was normally viewed to go top 10, and now you see him a lot in the mid to late 20s at certain mocks, depending on who you ask. Some people still see him going 10th to the Jets, which to me, I see that's where London goes. But you definitely see a lot of mixed opinions on Jameson Williams now after that injury, and I just don't think it's right. I think that I don't know about definitively the best receiver in the class because – well, he's my receiver one, but I definitely see other arguments, such as with Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. But to me, Williams is the best receiver, and that's who I would be looking at first if I was a team looking to take a receiver.
You make some fair points there. He's my wide receiver three. I do think a lot of the the things that people are worried about with the injury history – he doesn't have much injury history. This is the major injury he's had. Other than that, he's been very healthy throughout college and even dating back to high school, I'm pretty sure. So, I don't think that's a big issue. It's more so how he can recover from it. But like you said, I think that's generally like too overblown by people. I don't think it's that big of a deal because, we've seen so many players go down with major injuries recent years and they've been able to recover. I think it's just more so that I don't think he's as good as the two guys I have in front of him. I do think that he is undervalued by some, like you said, but I like Wilson better. And as I just stated, I really like Drake London. So Jameson Williams would be my wide receiver three, but I do like him and I do get what you're saying with a lot of the stuff. And with that, I think we should lead into our defensive players that we really like. And with me, this is one that I know that you're not the highest on him, but I'll talk about it. George Karlaftis, I really like him. I tried to choose a guy who wasn't in the top five because I like a lot of the top five guys a lot. They're obviously the most skilled in the draft, but Karlaftis is more of like a mid first round guy. As it looks right now, he's being like mocked from anywhere from like 12 to like 20-ish range. So, and he's one of the guys I like the most. Just because, I do see some of the reasons why people don't like him. His length isn't perfect. You typically want a guy with who's a little bit longer, longer arms to maybe make some of these tackles a little bit better. He's a guy who doesn't have as high heights as some of these other edge rushers that you see in the draft. But he's a guy who I think that, just his combination of power, he has great, run ability. He's able to, shoot gaps very well for the type of player he is. And I think he's great at, pressuring the quarterback. Just, look at his film last year. He's a guy who I have particularly looked into because the Eagles are mocked getting him a lot. And so he's one of the first guys I've researched, and just watching him play, I think I could already see, some elite characteristics of just getting to the quarterback, getting pressures, getting sacks, stuffing runs. He's a guy who I think will make a day one impact in the NFL to whatever team he goes to. I don't think he'll necessarily turn into a superstar right away, but I can see it happening with him. And I think that if you're a team in this mid-round range, that he's one of the guys who you want to target, because I think he does have that potential that some other guys just don't, that are also being mocked going around that mid first round area. And he has some great moves. He'll do some flashy plays. He could do like spin moves on occasion to get around blocking. He could do, you know, he has a lot of moves, a lot of tricks up his sleeve. And another thing I like a lot about him is on a couple occasions, this is something that not a lot of guys have, you know, a play doesn't look like it's going his way. Maybe he's being doubled. Maybe he's just getting stuffed by the offensive lineman, and he just keeps going. He keeps fighting. He's one of those guys who just never gives up on a play. And there's some plays where like after 5, 6, 7 seconds, when you totally didn't think he was going to get a pressure, he slipped away from the blocker and still got a pressure on the quarterback. So he's just a guy who puts in a lot of effort. And with a lot of the things I said earlier, I think that he could turn into a very prominent edge rusher in the league if he's developed correctly into the right situation. So he's a guy I like a lot.
See, that's the thing I don't like about Karlaftis. I don't think he can be a super prominent edge rusher in the league. I think he'll be a solid one. I don't think he'll ever be pushing top 10 edge rushers in the league. It's not about him, because like you said, he puts in great effort. He has some solid pass rush moves, but he just doesn't have the athleticism that you want. He has shorter than you would like arms. He's not all that bendy is the word I'll go with. Not a lot of flexibility. So, you know, if you can take him out, not easily, but easier than someone that could make some crazy athletic plays like a Randy Gregory. That's the first name that comes to mind for being super athletic at edge rusher. And to me, it's just, I'm not a big fan. He doesn't have the crazy athleticism. Like I said, he'll be solid. Don't get me wrong. I'm not seeing bust, but I'm also not seeing star.
Like that's my fair. That's why he's not going top 10 right now, because I think as a well-rounded player, he's like, most people think he's one of the most well-rounded edge rushers in the league, right? Or not in the league, in the draft at this moment. It's just like you said, I mean, he is missing some of that athleticism, but I think that's a very overlooked aspect when drafting players by some people, because I mean, I think that like a lot of times people will take better athletes opposed to better players. I think Karlaftis is a really good player, and yeah, you might be right, he may never turn out to be that superstar that some teams are looking for, but I think it could happen. And I think at the very least, I think he has a pretty high floor when it comes to prospects. So yeah, that's why I like him, but you are making some valid points.
So with all that being said about Karlaftis, now I'm going to move on to my defensive prospect that I love. And that's going to be Derek Stingley out of LSU. Now the timing of this is kind of poor, because Stingley, I think, is back on everybody else's prospects they love list after his pro day, which post-injury, he had a fantastic pro day, measurements with a 38-inch vert and a 4.44 40, which I think he's a little faster than that to begin with, but I digress. Stingley, to me, is the second best with the potentially best corner in the draft. A lot of people I know have Sauce as their number one corner at this point, Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati, who is fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not all that sold on his NFL athleticism either. Whereas Stingley definitely projects to be a number one corner in the NFL, with the caveat of, can he stay on the field? It's a theme of the players I like that are these supremely talented athletes and, football players that have had injury concerns. Now, Jameson Williams only had the one blown out knee throughout his career in college, but Stingley has definitely been hurt a little more than that. He missed two games as a sophomore in 2020, and he missed the final 9 games of his junior year, which was this past year, after his surgery to repair a torn Lisfranc ligament in October of 2021. And that's a really big problem. If a guy in college is injury prone to begin with, then you might want to you know, look away for the NFL. But to me, I think that Stingley is just uber talented, and he can definitely be a number one corner in the NFL. And I think that whatever team gets him is going to be getting a steal around the probably 8 to 12-ish range. I would love for the Eagles to trade up for him personally. Because this is a guy as a true freshman in LSU in 2019, which is that crazy team with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and all the other dudes. He was the best corner in the country by far. And the guy is just like, you can leave him on an island. He's struggled a little bit since that season, but LSU, their defense as a whole since then has been very, very up and down. And since you see that talent at that young of an age, and all he's done is develop athletically more, I think that he is a fantastic pick. And I definitely like him over dudes like Trent McDuffie and, you know, Andrew Booth, Kyrie Elam, all the other corners in the draft. I think he's comfortably number two, if not number one.
Yeah, I like Stingley a lot. And like you said, I mean, that 2019 play when he was on that great LSU team, I mean, he was the best corner in all of college football, and he looked like he could be like a top five pick.
Yeah, he could have been top five that year after his freshman year.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to be top five after that year. And I mean, yeah, his play has declined a little bit, but not too much. You still see that he's one of the best corners, or the best in the draft. I have him actually like almost tied with Sauce. It's very close. I still haven't really made up my mind yet who's better. Sauce looks better to most, and I get that, but I still really like Stingley. What you said about the injury issues is true. I don't think he's a super, super injury prone guy. Like, I don't think it's going to carry over too much into the NFL, but it is something teams need to be aware of, because, you know, you never want to draft a guy who's just going to be injured 24/7. I don't think that'll be the case, but you never know. I'm not a doctor. I can't, you know, say for sure. I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to be that guy, but you never know. Can't predict injuries. The one thing with him that, you know, he is a great athlete. He is super fast, great acceleration. He is a number one corner, and he will be, you know, he's going to be asked to play the best receivers in the NFL. I think one thing that we've seen from him the last year or two is he's had some trouble against guys who are super elusive. Like, he's had trouble against guys who are quick, who could shift really well in, like, you know, open space, sometimes on big plays. I think that might be an issue for him in the NFL, at least to start, especially with, like, you're going against, I don't know, Ja'Marr Chase, Deebo Samuel, Tyreek Hill, just guys in general like that. But that's not a huge issue. He'll get better at it as he plays more. And like I said, I mean, he is a true number one corner. I think he could easily be a number one corner on any NFL team. So I do like him also a lot.
Yeah. Let me add on some real quick that I forgot to mention. Him and Sauce are probably the best man coverage corners in the class. Actually, they are. Both of those guys are man corners more so than zone corners. And so I think that any team looking to get a man in a man-to-man scheme will be looking at both of those. But I think that you could also see someone like a Trent McDuffie drafted before Derek Stingley if a team is more zone heavy. And I don't like McDuffie a lot personally. I very easily could have put him in my prospects I hate, because I don't think that he's going to be able to play on the outside in the NFL. I think he's too small, but he's definitely a talented cover corner in zone. And yeah.
Yeah. I like a lot what you said. Okay. So those are our likes. There's three other guys I want to quickly mention who almost made my list. Matt Corral, Devontae Wyatt, and David Ajabo. I like all three of them a lot, and I'm not going to get into why, but I think all three of them are, as of right now, a little undervalued at wherever they're being mocked, and I think all three of them could be pretty good if everything goes right. I mean, that's a lot of these guys, but I'm just saying those three are also three that I wanted to mention personally. And you ready to get into the dislikes?
I'm a hater. I'm a hater. I'm always ready to talk about things I dislike.
Yeah, I'll go first with this one. And I don't hate a lot of these prospects. Like, I see some good in every single prospect who is being mocked highly, but the one that I see the least Gordon, when it comes to the receiver position, is Treylon Burks. It's a guy who a lot of people like a lot. And I mean, some of that makes sense. You know, he has had some great plays, you know, yards after catch. He's great at getting yak. I mean, he's a guy who he's one of the best yards after catch receivers in the draft, at least from what we saw in film last year. So a lot of people like him in that aspect. You know, his 40 time wasn't great. Speed didn't look as good as we thought it could be. Just seeing him in certain moments, I think a lot of people think he's a little bit faster than he is, and he's not slow by any means. I'm just saying, you know, this is something to consider when you're going to the next level, that, you know, maybe he's not as fast as people thought he was. That could be an issue. Not speed necessarily, but I mean, when it comes to his other like characteristics, he doesn't have a great frame. Or like when it comes to frame in terms of like, yeah, like he's big enough, but when it comes to 50-50 balls, Treylon Burks has a real issue winning them over talented DBs. It's just something that he wasn't doing in college. And you know, that could be a big issue. Like, it doesn't matter how big you are. It matters how big you play. Tyreek Hill can make 50-50 balls. Treylon Burks is bigger and he can't do it, at least from what I've seen. I think that he shows a tendency sometimes to break or to not give full effort on plays. One thing that, you know, when I was looking through some scouting reports on him, some people said that he wasn't a great blocker, and that's just something to take in mind. Some teams that are heavy blocking when it comes to receivers, I know the Niners, the Rams, teams like that might try to avoid a guy like Burks for reasons like that. And then also just for how explosive and fast he's supposed to be, sometimes he has some trouble creating separation against good DBs. And so these are just things, I mean, it may sound like kind of nitpicking, but I mean, he's a good receiver. I'm not arguing that. I still think he probably should go first round. But to me, I think he's more of like a 25 to 32 guy than he is to like a mid-round pick in the first round. And I would honestly take probably good four or five or maybe even six guys over him if I'm an NFL GM right now. I think that, you know, a lot of people overrate some of his abilities, and I don't think he'll translate super well in NFL play. So that's why I think some of those things. But like I said, I don't hate him necessarily, but I don't like him. And I like him much less than the other receivers in the first round.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on this one. I don't dislike him enough to put him on my prospects. I hate, which the guy I put on my prospects, I hate. I don't really dislike that much anyway. But to me, Burks, this, all the concerns you listed are kind of what we knew about him. We always knew he was going to be a really raw receiver coming out of college, because, you know, it's just a lot of the stuff he did in college was super physically dominating. And so we know he has concerns. Like, he's not a great route runner. A lot of the stuff that he did in college was off things like drag routes and screens and, you know, short stuff where he doesn't have to get all that open besides with the speed. And then the stuff with his athleticism, like you said, he looks really good on film and super athletic, but like through the combine, it revealed that he's not as fast as we thought he was, which maybe he just had a bad day. I mean, it happens. But it's just this guy that was a lot of his value was so predicated on him being an athletic freak that can dominate like that. And then his athleticism not being what it's supposed to be is just, it's a little worrying to me.
He could still turn out to be a good NFL receiver. He may wow both of us and may surprise us and turn out to be one of the better ones in this draft class. I see the potential there. I just think that it'll be a lot harder for him to do it than the other guys who I have in front of him. So that's why I don't like him. I think he's more of a risk.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. He definitely is a lot more risky than any of the first round receivers. That another, the last of which I'm going to be talking, actually, no, because there's still Garrett Wilson and maybe Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. But the last of which, I'll say it again, is going to be Chris Olave, who was my prospect that I'm a little bit down on. Compared to everyone else, I don't want to go out and say hate because I don't hate him, because I think I'll start with the positives, because, you know, it's the nice thing to do. So Chris Olave is a fantastic route runner who is always open, but that's a little bit of the issue with me. He's extremely fast, but a little bit slight, kind of like Jameson Williams, the way I was talking about, but Jameson Williams definitely plays a lot bigger than Chris Olave does. Chris Olave, he is, let me get the right numbers here. He is 6 foot and 187, which puts him heavier than Jameson Williams, but he doesn't play like it. He ran a 4.39 40, and like I said, he's super fast, but the problem is that he was the number two receiver on his team, whereas Jameson Williams was the number one. So the biggest, best corner is going to be on Williams, whereas that's not going to be the case with Olave. Olave had Garrett Wilson next to him, who is more of your prototypical number one receiver than he is, than Wilson, than Olave is, I should say. Olave, the problem with him, the big problem I have, is that he's always open. He, which sounds absolutely absurd to say, but what I mean by that is he, I think he'll be a better college player than he will be an NFL player, because yes, obviously these college dudes are going to be more open in college than they are in the NFL, but a lot of these guys that, where that is the case, you also see scenarios and moments of them where they catch these contested balls and break tackles of these smaller college guys, which Olave never does. He did not break a single tackle in his senior season, which is not an exaggeration. That is an actual stat. He did not break a single tackle, and he just plays small. So I don't, once that route running, you can't lean on it as much in the NFL. Obviously that's going to be his bread and butter, but NFL defenders are just simply better. So you're going to have to be making a little more contested catches, which that was one of the big worries with Devontae Smith last year. And he definitely showed some flashes of how he can make those contested catches. Although he did it a lot more in college than Olave did too. So to conclude my statements on Chris Olave, he is very talented, but it's just the, his body just isn't there for me as a receiver.
I agree with what you said, but I disagree about with the disliking to Olave. I feel like a lot of what you said is contributed into him not being like a top 10 pick or not being the first ranked receiver in the draft class. But like, he's, you know, like I said, he's not the first ranked. He's like fourth or fifth by most.
It depends people. On who you ask.
It does depend on who you ask, but like general consensus, he is outside the top three. General consensus.
I don't know about that.
I think he is. I mean,
I don't think so.
Maybe he's at three or four. That's where I've usually seen him, like around pick 20-ish going to a certain team. And I honestly don't hate it. I mean, what you said with his frame, his body, he doesn't have some of the physical aspects that you may want from a guy you're taking in the first round at a receiver is true, but he has such an incredible burst. You know, you said you don't think he'll be able to create as much separation in the NFL. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it's probably true, but I don't think it'll be much of an issue. I think that he excels among other receivers in the draft class, maybe not Jameson Williams, but others, at creating separation. I think he could be a really big play type of guy on the right team, and the right team will probably draft him. I doubt many teams that won't be able to utilize him correctly will take him. I mean, who knows, but I think he's very dependent on being utilized correctly, unlike some of these other guys. So that may be like a turnoff for some people, but I think if he's utilized correctly and is used just mainly as a deep threat for his first season before he kind of can develop more as a player, I think it's a good pick. But I do get a lot of your criticisms, and if he's not utilized correctly or picked by the right team, then I think it could be one of the worst picks in the first round. So it's more so team dependent, I guess, for Olave to me, but I don't hate him.
I don't either. I just don't like him as much as the other receivers.
And that's fair. You do bring up some good points. He may never be a wide receiver one. And in fact, I doubt he will ever be a wide receiver one level player for any team. So unlike some of these other guys who are going in the first round. So you do make some points there with Chris Olave, although I think I like him a little bit more than you do. A guy Olave to me, I wouldn't mind if the Eagles took him, but at the same time, I would prefer some of the other guys we've been talking about more. And I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting to see what he does throughout his career. I think for me at least, you know, I'm still not sure my thoughts about him, Olave as a whole. I mean, I told you what I think, but I'm still kind of murky. I'm gonna have to watch more film on him and see kind of how he plays for his first couple weeks in the NFL before I could get like a grasp on how good he could be as a receiver in the league. But I think we should just move on to defensive players now who we dislike. And mine is, it's kind of hard to justify because a lot of people really like him. I saw a report that, you know, some people think that this guy could be the next AJ Terrell. And I mean, that would be crazy if he is. That guy is Andrew Booth Jr. And I don't hate him. I want to emphasize, I don't hate either Andrew Booth Jr. or Treylon Burks. I just dislike them more than everybody else. I want to make that clear because I think both of them could be good players. I just wouldn't take them as high as they're being mocked or where they probably will be drafted when it comes to the real NFL draft. And with Andrew Booth, I mean, you obviously, he has a lot of like the physical measurables you want out of a corner. He has pretty good length. The skill is there. I mean, we've seen it, you know, if you've watched any of his games, I mean, he could be really good in press or zone combinations as a corner. I do get the strengths there. But when it comes to some of the weaknesses, I just think consistency is one of his issues. He has missed a lot of big tackles. And, you know, this is something that I noticed from watching him a little bit. And then I also looked at a guy that I like a lot, Daniel Jeremiah, who did an evaluation on him. He said the same thing. He has an issue with some big tackles. Jeremiah himself said that he's not sure if Booth could be a number one corner for a team. He thinks he's more of a number two guy. And I kind of agree with that. As of now, I don't think he is a definite number one corner. I don't think he necessarily will develop into that. We've only seen him play a little bit of football in college. I mean, so that's another thing, a lack of experience. I think that he is a little bit of a project. There are some things that he still needs to work on, tackling in and out of coverage. He could be inconsistent sometimes. And while, yeah, he does have the physical attributes you want, he does have a lot of skill. I don't think he's as skilled or as good as Stingley. I don't think he's as good as Sauce. I think there's other secondary players in the draft who are going after him that are safer picks. And I don't think that he's going to be a number one corner. So, I mean, I think he's more likely like a number two guy who will have some inconsistencies. Maybe will look really good at some points, will look really bad at other points. And I don't know if I'm willing to take a mid-level first round pick on a guy like that. So, I mean, those are my criticisms for him. I could easily see someone arguing the other way that he could turn out to be a really, really good corner if he develops and gets more experience and, you know, improves tackling and some of his inconsistencies in and out of coverage. But to me, I just am not as high on him as I think others are. And I just like him more than others do. So,
see, to me, Booth, one of his biggest strengths as a player is his, you know, his prowess in the run game, because he's a very willing tackler to me and has a fantastic motor. And, you know, he's very, like, he likes to get dirty is what I'm trying to say. He's extremely aggressive in the run game, which, yes, can lead to missed tackles. But the fact that he's willing to go be aggressive like that is a big encouragement. He's very solid in coverage. He's good in zone and man. But he's a little too inconsistent for me. I don't love him, and I could definitely see him as a first-round pick, but I could also see him falling to the second.
And, you know, what you said just there, like, yeah, he does go out there and try to make these tackles. I love the effort. But at the same time, like, if you're – he has, like, the boom or bust type of deal. Yes. Not every play, but – on big plays in general, he'll go out to try to make the flashy big tackle. Sometimes that'll work. Sometimes it'll turn into a touchdown for the other team or a big gain that just shouldn't happen. He's going to have to learn to take the safer tackle a lot of the time in the league. And I mean, it's totally different, but it's a lot like Trayvon Diggs, at least this last year. Trayvon Diggs would try to bite, get all these interceptions, and then he would also give up a lot of big plays. So, I mean, there's some good and some bad. I don't think he's as good as some of the other guys going around him. And, yeah, I would like him in the second round. I don't like him where he's going in the first round right now. So,
Yeah, that might be a little high. I'm going to share your sentiment with my players I dislike. Hint, hint, players, because they're both very similar. They're solid. They're good players, but I think they're just going to go way too high to me. Mm-hmm. So those players are going to be Trayvon Walker and Jordan Davis, who are both defensive linemen out of Georgia. Walker is an edge rusher, whereas Davis is an interior lineman. To me, I see the same issues with both players. I just don't think they're that good of pass rushers right now, which Walker, I definitely see the appeal of because he's crazy athletic and he's a little younger than Davis is. So you can definitely see that potential improvement, but he's still a three-year player and you never saw any real production out of him in college, which worries me. Not to say that that's the end all be all, because you got a guy like Daniil Hunter that also didn't really produce in college, but has been awesome in the NFL. So I think Walker is definitely first round pick worthy, but to me, it just doesn't scream top three overall. And Jordan Davis, who is the interior lineman out of Georgia, he is a senior, so he's a little older, so not a lot of, is he a senior? That I might be feeding misinformation.
I actually do not know.
But I'll get into his issues as a player before I get into his age. He is a mammoth of a man. That's the big thing about Jordan Davis. He is a absolute unit, and Jordan Davis is a senior. And he ran pretty fast for what he is. He ran a 4.78 40 at the combine. And he looks like he'll be a fantastic run stopper and a great nose tackle in your defense. But to me, I don't think you can justify taking a nose tackle in the early teens of the first round, because Jordan Davis has no pass rush moves. He's not ever going to be anything as a pass rusher. To me, I'd say that's my opinion on his pass rush skills. And I don't think that you can draft someone like that that's so limited that might not even be able to play on third down in the top half of the first round. I think that's way overvalued, and I would avoid Jordan Davis. I would love him in like the 20s, but in the early teens, I don't know about all that.
Yeah. I think like a common theme is that we see the appeal to some of these guys. We just think they're being valued too high in the draft. Positional, like where they're being taken in mocks and just everything in general. And I mean, I think that's a lot of the draft. I think, you know, there's some guys who are not as good, who are just being valued better, who are going in later rounds, who are better picks for teams, because you could get a great guy in the first round and them in the second or third. And I think there's just some guys who are just being overvalued, and it's not necessarily that we hate them, just like, you know, maybe we hate some of them but not all of them. Is what I'm trying to say.
No, I genuinely do not hate any prospect in this draft.
I got nothing
personal against them, obviously.
Yeah, I don't hate anybody yet. I just think some people are overvalued, and I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I wish I could talk about some of the other guys that I like. You know, Devontae White, I think is going to be really good. David Ojabo, I think is going to be really good, and Matt Corral. Could be the best quarterback in the draft. I'm just saying. Could be. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think he has the best skill as a passer of any of the top guys. Not good decision making.
Yeah, I don't think I share that same sentiment.
I don't know. I mean, I think he definitely is going to have – not going to have. I definitely think he could have a higher peak than Kenny Pickett or Willis. But who knows? I mean – it's possible that this quarterback class is like one of the first ones in recent years that is a total flop. 2019 was not great at all, but like this is the first one since 2013. What about 14? 15 was also not great.
Who did 14 have?
14 did not have great quarterbacks.
I don't know that any dudes won in the first round.
Did they? No, I feel like we're missing some. Oh, 14 was Teddy, Manziel.
Oh, Bortles, Manziel, and Bridgewater.
Yeah, and yeah, so that was bad. Ugh. But, I mean, since 15, you have Jameis.
Oh, no, and you have Derek Carr in 2014, too, but he was a second. Oh,
that's true. Derek Carr. Derek Carr is the best quarterback out of that draft. 2015, I mean, I guess the verdict is still up on that because we just don't know yet about Jameis. And Mariota's getting a second chance too. So I can't really say about 2015. But 2016 and onward, I mean, it's been pretty good when it comes to quarterback draft classes. I think this is the worst one in like the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it is. But the draft is so random. You can't go out and say like,
I'm just being real. Like, to me, at least from what I see, like, I don't think Kenny Pickett's ever going to be a superstar. I think Willis could be, but he has a lot of issues and is more flawed than some people think. And then Corral is just such a wild card. Like, I don't know.
It's definitely a reason to worry.
Yeah, but I think one thing that's common about this draft is edge is really good. A lot of good edge rushers. A lot of good defensive players and also some good linemen. So I think that's like the main things to take away from what I've seen so far in this draft. Obviously, you know, good receivers every year. This year is pretty good receivers compared to most years. But just when it comes to like defense, edge, and trenches, line, O-line, just everything. I mean, this year's draft is looking good. So a lot of teams are looking to improve in those areas. And we should continue a lot of this draft content next week and into the following weeks before the NFL draft. So I'm excited to look at more prospects and get into more of this. But yeah, I'm sure some of those takes are going to come back to bite me because they always do. I always say something that I'm always like regretting a year later. And
that's the whatever. Fun of it.
I mean, it is the fun of it. I'm sure I'm going to get one or two of those right though. Drake London is going to be a beast. I'm just saying.
Look, I'll get one or two right. I'll get one or two horribly wrong.
That's the beauty of it. And, you know, yeah, it's the beauty of it. I'm excited for this. Hopefully we'll get some more news next week so we have a little bit more to talk about than just draft. But if we don't, then we'll just continue talking about draft stuff. And, yeah, really excited. Thank you so much for listening. We enjoyed having you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.